Welcome to Lupin Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. Please note that all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, friends. I'm very pleased to welcome you to our Q3 earnings call. I have with me our Managing Director, Nilesh, as well as our CFO, Ramesh. As you would have noted, we have continued to build on our momentum in Q3, both on revenues and in particular on margins. I'm very pleased that in Q3, our U.S. business performed well, India business growth improved, and API business rebounded as well. On the margin front, we saw the benefit of NPLs in the U.S., seasonal product upside as well, and continued savings from our optimization measures. We are focused on sustaining this positive momentum, in particular as material new product launches start and our recent investment in our sales force expansion in India starts yielding results. I will let Ramesh talk through the performance in deeper detail. I would like to share some of the business highlights, though. In the U.S., we have continued to evolve our business with optimization of oral solids, driving growth of complex generics, respiratory franchise in particular, and executing on our new product launches. During the quarter, our in-line business was almost flat, with slight decline due to exit from low-margin products, offset almost completely by seasonal products. New product launches in the year contributed well in the quarter, with Suprep ramping up, Perforomist generic successful launch, and Pennsaid authorized generic launch. Our respiratory franchise strengthened with Albuterol continued strong performance, addition of Brovana and Xopenex brands, as well as generic Perforomist launch. As we look at the quarters ahead, we expect new product launches like Spiriva, diazepam gel, Nascobal nasal spray, and darunavir, all products where we have either exclusivity or first-to-market position, will drive growth of our U.S. business in a profitable manner. On Spiriva, we continue to make progress and have received priority review from the FDA for a target action date in April without inspection or July with inspection. In the meantime, we are getting ready with launch preparedness. We continue to see tiotropium as a substantial opportunity for fiscal year 2024, with a significant runway given the competitive dynamics. Products like diazepam gel and Nascobal, we now hope to see approval soon, given the recent successful Somerset audit. Our U.S. generics business has come a long way in calendar year 2022. Still a long way to go. However, with the new product launches coming in, continued optimization efforts, focused efforts on building our niche inhalation as well as injectables pipeline, we are optimistic that we will grow our U.S. business in the next couple of years. Switching to India, the largest part of our business, while our growth in the quarter and first half has been below market, this is primarily due to loss of Cidmus from our cardiovascular portfolio and genericization in the diabetes segment in the gliptins. But for the diabetes portfolio, our growth in Q3 was in line with market, with therapeutic areas like cardiac, GI, respiratory, all delivering double-digit growth. Gynecology and GI have actually been the fastest growth therapeutic areas for us. This quarter, we have added close to 1,000 reps, created six new divisions to expand our reach and share of voice. We expect our investments to get us to above-market growth in the quarters ahead. We are committed to growing our India business to double-digit growth in the quarters ahead. Other than India and the U.S., our API business recovered with a growth in cephalosporins, and other countries like U.K. on the back of Foster generic and Germany due to NaMuscla grew well as well, quarter-over-quarter. On the margin front, we expect continued improvement, in particular as we execute on new product launches and our recent investment in India, in the sales force in India starts yielding results. Likewise, we continue to focus on cost optimization efforts. While we have been successful in optimizing our manpower cost, we have been very disciplined in getting out of low-margin products that has not allowed us to optimize our idle cost. Nevertheless, We are confident with the efforts that we have underway, we should be able to move the needle on this front in the quarters to come as well. On the compliance front, we have made progress with positive outcomes on sites like Ankleshwar, Nagpur Injectables, and Somerset. We've also made substantial progress on our remediation efforts in Tarapur and Mandideep. The recent approval of our Nagpur Injectables facility will enable us to start building our organic injectables portfolio in full earnest. Overall, we are moving in the right direction. We expect the pace to get better as we execute on our material new product launches in the quarters ahead. With this, I will hand it over to Ramesh for a deeper analysis of our performance.
Thank you, Vinita, and good afternoon, friends. Sales for the current quarter were 4,244 crores as compared to 4,091 crores in Q2 FY23, a growth of 3.7%. On a year-on-year basis, the growth was 3.8%, whilst the previous sales was 4,087 crores. The US business, in the quarter, the US business registered 11.2% growth in local currency terms on quarter-on-quarter basis, led by new product launches in the US generics business and brands acquired from Sunovion. On a year-on-year basis, revenue declined by 12.3% in local terms, with price erosion in top brands like Brovana, Albuterol, and Famotidine. We launched four new products, Perforomys, Pensaid, Tufinamide, and Palpiridone ER tablets, in Q3 FY23, bring the total NPLs to 8 for the year. NPLs contributed $20 million in Q3 revenue. India region. India branded formulations business declined by 3.4% in Q3 versus Q2, whilst on year-on-year basis, sales grew by 2.6%. The overall market growth during Q3 was 10%, whilst Lupin grew by 7.5%. Loss of exclusivity and genericization in the anti-diabetics portfolio has impacted growth rate of Lupin, as patented portfolio held by Lupin in the anti-diabetes is close to 55% of the portfolio of the anti-diabetes portfolio. As you would know, we our top TAs are cardiovascular, diabetes, and respiratory. Apart from that, gynecology and GI, we are also doing very well. And they're growing in the case of gynecology by 19.7% and GI by 16.1%. API business sales grew by 12.7% quarter on quarter as core cephalosporins API sales recovered during the quarter. Year on year basis sales growth was 9.8%. On the EMEA front, revenue growth of 11.1% year on year basis, while strong performance of Lufobek in UK and Namuscla in Germany was registered. Sales for growth markets grew by 23.5% vis-a-vis Q3 FY22 and declined by 5.9% vis-a-vis the previous quarter. Gross margins. Q3 FY23 gross margins are 59.8% as compared to 58.1% in the previous quarter. This is mainly due to US margin improvement, better product mix, and reduction in freight rates. As compared to Q3 FY23 gross margins, the slight margin is due to reduction in write-offs, freight, offsetting the impact of price erosion in the US markets, and of course, inflationary pressures on the cost front. On the employee benefit front, Q3 FY23 was 764 crores, vis-a-vis 771 crores in the previous quarter. There's a marginal decline on quarter-on-quarter basis because of Star Club payments made in the last quarter. We had highlighted this in our last earnings call as well. On an ongoing basis, we expect employee cost to be in the range of 18.5% to 19% of sales as we build our sales force in India. And Vinita just spoke about that. A lot of people have been asking me about our manufacturing other expenses spend. I also rush to say that there is indeed a one-time expenditure base increased by about 40 crores, which will potentially come down next quarter, but would also perhaps in some ways be offset by perhaps an R&D increase next quarter. EBITDA margins, operating EBITDA excluding FX and other income is 12.2% in Q3, a quarter-on-quarter growth by 160 basis points because of higher sales, gross margins, and cost control. Normalized ETR is expected to be 35% as a few subsidiaries like LOI Digital and Healthcare continue to have losses. On the balance sheet front, there has been a lot of optimization that we've been working on, and working capital operating days were lowered by 5 working days. With this, may I have the pleasure of opening this floor for discussion.
I don't think the organizer can hear us.
Can you hear us?
Yes. So thank you very much. Yeah. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to speak to ask a question may raise your hand from the participant tab on your screen. Participants are required to use headphone earphones while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. So the first question is from Prakash.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Prakash.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Just wanted to check on the US run rate. We had fairly good launches where we have a couple of one AG and decent launches, and we also acquired the two decent size products. Just wanted to understand, and the season of season was also good. I think the flu season was good. Other companies have reported market share gains. Were you satisfied with the US performance, or we missed some contracts, or how do you think about it as a base business now?
No, we were satisfied with the performance, Prakash. On the one hand, we should never be satisfied with the performance, but it's come a long way in the last couple of quarters, in the business, both the base business, the inline business, as well as new product launches have contributed very nicely to the quarter. I'd say that, the impact of the flu season products, that obviously as the flu season recedes, which has already started, one will, see some decline on that front. But the team continues to work on this now, the $170+ million run rate, with the current products, until we can get, additional new product launches like tiotropium and the like.
Okay. I mean, so it's a full quarter benefits of these launches as well as the acquired assets is what I was trying to understand, and you are saying that yes, it had full quarter benefits.
No, I won't say it's full quarter benefits because we had the brands only for a couple of weeks in the quarter, performance launch was we had 2 months rather the brand Globinex and Rovana. And performance, we had some upside opportunity that we were able to capitalize on because of supply issues of some of our competitors. So I'd say we'll see an increase from the brand products, but we'll probably see a normalization on performance.
Okay, got it. Fair enough. And secondly, on Spiriva, so what I heard was April, the target is moved a bit to April, which is with inspection, and June without inspection. If you could just give more color, what does it mean? So that date is like what kind of color on the queries that has come in, and without inspection means that if they don't come by June, it would deem to be approved, or how should we think about that?
So it's actually the other way around, Prakash. It's April without inspection and July with inspection. So if the FDA decides that they want to come and inspect, then the TAD date will be July. But if they decide that they don't want to inspect, which is very hard for us to predict the agency is going to inspect or not, then it's going to likely be April. And we are hopeful that, we can expedite it as much as possible, just given that our back and forth with the agency. Majority of the disciplines have been closed, CMC, the PDE and disciplines have been closed. I believe that quality is still pending, and that's why I say it's either April or July.
Okay. And lastly, on the cost side, I think Ramesh did mention that there is a 40 crore one-off, but even if I strip that off, that cost is fairly high, even that. So, and I understand there's 1,000 people have been added. So incrementally, SG&A, traveling, marketing will increase from here. So first is why the jump? Apart from normal inflation, is there anything else that is, increased? Or is it maybe Forex as well? And how do we see this number moving going ahead?
There is, of course, a slight impact because of Forex, because there is a rupee depreciation, and when you translate expenses outside the country, it does happen that way. But a large chunk of it is actually coming in because of the fact that you have had higher travel. And I also told you in Q2, there was a shift to, in fact, payroll expenses, which was shifted back here to that extent. It is kind of normalized out here. There's been a higher component in terms of litigation spends and the like as well. So all of this has actually contributed. Whilst your question actually comes in from the fact that what did we do on the optimization plan, I rush to tell you that we have been doing a lot of work on that. To be honest, a lot of it actually happens at the gross margins line itself, and that is in terms of our routes to synthesis, alternate vendor development, and the like. And apart from that, but this has also been in some ways eroded by higher inflation out there. Apart from that, there were inefficiencies across various lines. And at the start of the year, we spoke about, in fact, trying to address the manpower situation at the factory level. We have been pretty successful there, and it's captured in some ways in the staff cost itself. There are other lines where you have been extremely successful, but there are parts which we couldn't do much because of the fact that volumes did drop. We had to take write-offs in terms of inventories that we had, and plus, of course, issues that we had on the impurities front itself. So the initiatives are still on, there have been mixed results, but you'll certainly see a lot more of this bearing fruit in the quarters to come.
Okay, so our EBITDA margin guidance of exit rate of 16 to 18 with cost A increasing and B Spiriva moving out to next quarter changes, right?
In a sense, yes. So if you are talking about specifically quarter four, it would be in the same line, the same range as the current quarter. But once we actually have the top line moving, which will potentially happen once we have Spiriva coming in, and of course, you've got Darunavir and others, you could expect, in fact, that to obviously impact the bottom line as well. We would continue to work on the cost lines as well, but I think we're really, banking on the top line to shift to actually to see a real shift on the EBITDA front.
Okay, lovely. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Sayan Mukherjee.
Yeah, hi. So, sir, just to carry forward the question, you are banking on top line to deliver the margins, but it's a handful of product. So you have Spiriva. In case that gets further delayed, what's your outlook on margin in that case? And in that context, it is important to understand, in some granular detail, what's the kind of, cost control initiatives that the company intends to take? Because banking on US revenues and that to the handful of products, there can be potential risks to that because the margins are very low at this point.
Yeah, so I also recognize that. We also recognize that in lots of ways, Sayan. So if the top line doesn't move, then potentially we still have to work on various initiatives on the cost front. And there are several things which you still can, for example, there is an element of FTS which is still coming in because of the fact that, if there are impurities and we are not able to supply, that's actually impacting in some ways the bottom line itself. There were write-offs that we have taken during the course of this year. So those are lines that we still can work on, apart from, in fact, the footprint that we would reduce in case, a further volume drop. So it has to be in some ways an iterative process. We need to kind of weigh the pros and cons of potentially, when would the top lines start moving, and then potentially work on on other items as well. Specifically, when it comes to India region, yes, we are going to add more people, but we're also working on productivity. So whilst there is going to be an increase in overall expenses, we also believe that there is going to be a commensurate increase on the top line. So there would be, at the very least, what I do expect is that if Spiriva and other products are going to get delayed, the expense lines will certainly, will go down that path in terms of reducing. And that would, of course, shift the EBITDA margin, EBITDA line in some way. Not to the extent that the top line can really move it, but there would certainly be a perceptible increase because of the reduction on the expense front itself.
Would you like to talk about material rates as well?
Yeah, so if we talk about, there has been an increase in cost of production because of that, and which is really impacting in some ways the gross margin line. But better sales mix and, of course, reduction in terms of the air freight and others have actually brought in some benefit there, and that's reflected in the gross margin increase this time around.
Yeah, Ramesh, you used to talk about, I think 500 crores of savings. There was a number which you talked about earlier. I mean, yes. Is that number still valid, and how much have we already achieved? And how much is left? I mean, if you can give some color as to, how much more, just from a cost perspective, one can expect.
Yeah, so the 600 crores were really, could be broken down into 6 or 7 buckets, so to speak. We achieved a lot of success in at least 3 or 4 of them, whilst 2 others, we were kind of stymied because of the fact that the volumes dropped and there was write-offs and the like. So overall, I would say that it's mixed results. So at least about 50 to 60% has been achieved. But where we have not achieved, it also significantly altered the balance. So, still working on those. And it's not as though it will never get achieved. It will get achieved. It's only a question of time. And that would actually, kind of round off the full complement.
Okay. One last question, just a clarification on, the new product contribution, $20 million, I think you mentioned. This includes the acquired brands. And also, if you can, indicate what's the, exposure to the U.S. market from the Mandideep facility in terms of revenues.
The largest part of it is Suprep, Performist, Pensaid, and 2 months worth of the brands.
The exposure to from Mandideep to US revenues is, I know it's sub 10%. I'm not sure if it's sub 5%.
Yeah, so what we really are looking at, there's only the suspensions out there, in terms of NG products out there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Damayanti Kerai.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. So coming back to cost, first few clarifications. So you added 1,000 people in your India sales team. So when did this addition happen? Because sequentially, we haven't seen much change in the staff cost. And then you're planning to add on more people. So how many potentially could come in? And when do you expect these new people to start contributing meaningfully? So what we understand is it takes around 1.5 to 2 years. So are you expecting a similar time frame?
Sure. So we started adding from November, and in this quarter, we will complete the addition. A large part of that is really in this quarter that we're adding. We're creating 6 new divisions out of that. And part of this is just the fact that we are under-indexed in India as far as our sales force is concerned. So you'll see, we'll see some impact this quarter. But as you know, we've also been growing below the industry average in the last few quarters. And that is changing. So I already see that minus the in-license portfolio, we're already at market growth rate. And even after adding this these people, we will see further acceleration of our growth. My expectation is that from the second quarter, we will be growing overall at rate faster than the market.
So, Nilesh, how many people are left to be added? So, 1,000 are done, right? And
yeah, we're almost, no, so this, that was the entire number. So, the entire number is largely done.
Okay. But impact of that is not getting reflected in staff costs, right? What we have seen, it's mostly similar. So,
I think there was some small number which was added in in this past quarter. In Q4 is where you'll see some impact of this staff cost addition. That also is staggered through the quarter. And then it gets baked into the numbers from Q1 onwards.
Okay, Q1 onwards. Second, Ramesh, you mentioned third quarter number obviously had one-off, and then you are saying if we move to fourth quarter, that one-off might come down, but you are saying R&D will catch up because third quarter was a bit less. So should we assume broadly similar other operating expense cost to continue?
Yes, I think the it will be more or less in the same range.
It'll come down a little bit.
It'll come down a little bit in terms of SG&A expense that we can control, but broadly around this.
So
employee cost go up a little, but that's on a different line.
So if I just look at the cost and that we wait for Spiriba and other key approvals to come in, when we should be seeing, I'll say, notable benefits coming from all the efforts which you have been doing on the cost front for last several years?
So that's exactly what I was trying to explain. So we were stymied because of reasons beyond our control, which is really about, in some ways, the volumes dropping and because of write-offs and the like. And those buckets we would be addressing. So these are not going to continue forever. You know, these are systemic issues that we kind of faced, which we have addressed. Those will get corrected. So if you're talking about the total quantum of 600 crores benefit flowing in, it could have flowed into the P&L by the time we are through with this.
And I mean, just more specifically, I think Q2 onwards, we would see improvement in performance. We have Darun aware. We have some of this optimization that would kick in as well. That's what we see. And obviously, teotropium will only further improve that picture.
Yeah.
Okay. My last question is on India bit. So diabetic portfolio, obviously we have seen genericization, but with more salespeople coming on board, which segments you are focusing, which can really help you to outpace the market growth in coming few quarters?
So our big therapy areas are diabetes, cardiovascular, and respiratory. And these are the three areas that would grow as well. So, you know, while it's a point of time, the diabetes market is also bouncing back. In addition, you know, areas like GI, areas like women's health are growing strong double digit as well. And these are areas that we would accelerate as well.
Just, I think, a clarification. Diabetes, are we relying more on, say, improved penetration? Because maybe like there are some new launches lined up, but are you relying more on volume penetration to pick up pace?
The market is inherently there. You know, unfortunately, India is the diabetes capital of the world. So, you know, I think the market potential is always there. It's value-wise, it is vitiated at this point of time because of the genericization of multiple products in the diabetes portfolio for the market itself, right? So it's the only segment that is really growing at best a single-digit kind of thing in the Indian market. And it's going to bounce back for the market. It's going to bounce back for us as well.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Surya Patra.
I think you're on mute, Surya.
Sorry. Thank you. So thanks for this opportunity. So my first question is on the kind of a potential profitability that we can achieve over next 1 to 2 year period. So practically, having seen the pricing pressure in one of the key complex products, what we have been waiting for, let's say albuterol and other respiratory products. So now our focus has been obviously on the complex generics, and we have been spending a lot. But we are also on visualizing that or seeing that the kind of pricing pressure as well as competition what the complex products are also witnessing. So considering that, are you confident enough to achieve what you have been trying to fetch from the complex portfolio going ahead?
Well, we've already started seeing the benefit of the complex products. Just a couple of products like albuterol, how much they benefit, from us from a profitability standpoint. We can't wait for our portfolio to be rolled out completely. I mean, when Spiriva gets approved, the potential of Spiriva is substantial, both on top line and as well as bottom line. You know, and we will execute on these opportunities. Meanwhile, until they get delayed, one feels uncertain about them. But the fact is, our team is working, 100% to get these products approved and launched. And as we look at launching these products, that will really help us grow the top line as well as the margin profile. And we feel confident of getting to that in the next couple of years to the 17-18% EBITDA level.
Okay. But whether you are happy to achieve whatever the profitability that you have achieved in case of albuterol, because that is a concern that, okay, that was a key product and we have been targeting certain level of market share there. We achieved everything, but that has not influenced anything at all to our overall profitability. Although there has been incremental competition, incremental challenges to the business generally that has come up, but still. So given the scenario, whether we should see a kind of profitability that we are trying to achieve, will that justify the kind of money that we have been spending on the complex portfolio?
I would say that actually albuterol offset a lot of challenges of the oral solid portfolio and the erosion that we saw in the oral solid portfolio. And as we look out the next 2 years, we're expecting that albuterol will have some price pressure, price erosion, and that we are factoring in new products that we bring into the market that will help us bolster the top line and bottom line.
Okay. My second question is on the, let's say, Spiriva. See, obviously, it is delayed a bit, that is fine. But in the meanwhile, have you understood anything about the potential competition in that product? And by
We don't believe, I mean, as of yet, no one has really finished a clinical trial. We believe that one company has started working on a trial. They're just starting a PD study. So, from anyone who's starting a PD study right now, if I look at our timeline, they're going to be 3 years away at least to get a product to market.
Okay. So till the time that we will be having a kind of exclusivity situation in Spiriva, whether that will have some kind of advantage in terms of grabbing market share for other respiratory product as well, or there is no contagious benefit that we should see?
Well, that would be an upside if we can get it. I mean, we are strengthening our respiratory portfolio. So overall, our position on the respiratory and our offering from a customer standpoint goes up. But that will really be an upside to see how we can bundle them if we can at all. To us, it's just a standalone, a very lucrative opportunity.
Sure. Just last one question about the numbers, basically. So whether any debt number that has been added during the quarter, because the finance cost looks slightly elevated this quarter, that is one. And could you also clear what was the slow contribution this quarter, the sequential up move in the US sales, what we have witnessed, how much was that driven by flu?
Firstly, on the debt front, we had a couple of acquisitions, so the brands that we bought in America, we also bought brands in Brazil. That's actually, come on to the scene. There's, of course, the normal capital expenditure that we continue, which would have come through in previous quarters also. So these have actually, in some ways taken up the overall debt position. Though there has been a reduction on the working capital front, this is, it's the M&A front, which has really cost us to take on some debt.
What is the gross debt, sir?
It comes to about 3,400 crores.
Okay.
That's the net debt, actually.
Okay, this is the net debt. Gross, are you sharing?
Yeah, like it's a small company. It's about 4,600 crores.
Okay, thank you, sir. And anything on that the SLU contribution? Can you?
What contribution?
SLU season contribution for the quarter, man.
Sequentially. So it's a low single digit, couple of million dollars.
Thank you, ma'am.
Penguin prices have been ruling at a particular and at a higher, and because of that, to that extent, our ability to kind of, we didn't actually want to sell at a loss in America also because prices are what they are. We have been focusing on only products that are profitable.
Yeah, I was just talking about the increase.
I was talking about the sequential revenue increase, which you answered that it is single digit kind of million dollar revenue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Neha Manpuria.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Nilesh, my first question is on the India business. I think you mentioned we should get back to double-digit growth, from second quarter onwards. So at that point, most of the, Sidmus impact and also the diabetes impact will be behind us. And we expect the MR to start contributing to productivity. That assumption is right, right? So we should start seeing outperformance versus industry from second quarter.
Yes, and I actually did not even talk about the NLEM impact that we are seeing, little bit in the end of Q3, and then we'll obviously have it in Q4, and then obviously a good portion of that we would expect to reverse in Q1.
Understood. And if I were to look at, the business in a little more, 2 to 3 year perspective, do you think we need any investments organic and inorganic to sort of bolster our position further, in India?
I think we're doubling down on India, right? Adding 1,000 representatives, we're cognizant of what that means in terms of employee expense, in terms of selling promotion and the like. But we see this as an opportunity to grow in India. Obviously, in the COVID period, we held back from adding people and the like. And again, what we're doing is no different from the, other industry leaders where, clearly there is a renewed focus on India. And it certainly is part of our plan as well. I think we're already committed to doing whatever is required from a people perspective, an expense perspective, an R&D perspective to cater to the business. I would love to, fold in inorganic moves in this as well. We did some smaller stuff, including, buying the in-licensed product, Londero, including the Anglo-French portfolio, which is actually performing very well. I think acquisitions are going to be few and far between because, especially the somewhat bigger ones, as you've seen, it gets to multiples where you really can't justify. So, we would seek value and that would make it difficult from an inorganic perspective, but we are looking at everything that comes our way and, for our own part, digging out opportunities that we could chase as well.
Understood. Given that we are doubling down on India and, most of the competition is increasing field force, SG&A, how do I put that in context with the fact that we want to look at cost optimization further? That would indicate that our costs are probably optimization, whatever might come through, might be more than offset by the fact that we need to continue to invest to grow in India. Which thus makes margin expansion without Spiriva nearly impossible. Is that the right conclusion?
So maybe I can start, Ramesh, you can add. I think, first of all, there are some period effects. Yes, we're adding people. Yes, there will be certain costs associated with that, and we will not get a return, obviously, the very day that we add those people. I think the cost optimization measures are largely driven from the optimization that we saw overall from a generic footprint perspective. So a lot of the stuff that we've done, optimizing the R&D spend, optimizing the manpower footprint, 16% reduction in our workforce in our manufacturing plants, optimizing the R&D workforce and the like. A lot of that has gone in the direction that the generic market is changing. We will obviously play in oral solids and the like as well, but clearly the focus is to be a specialized generic player focusing on inhalation, injectables, and select oral solids. So I think that, to me, those optimizations run in parallel. There are still obviously other, there are five or six key growth drivers and, big business areas within Lupin and, Some of them will take investments at certain point of time, others will get optimized. But net, obviously, we're all working to build a high growth organization which grows at strong double digit, and obviously with EBITDA far better than what we have right now. We are very cognizant of the fact that we're under indexed. So I think these investments are being made in light of everything else that is happening, but obviously with the view that in the next few quarters, we should be getting to much more solid numbers.
Nair, just to add to that, you know, and give further color, you know, there's a base beyond which it is impossible to go on several, on quite a few buckets, you know, and to that extent, perhaps in some buckets, it's not possible to kind of optimize further. But I also identified a few buckets where a great deal of optimization is still possible. You know, this is essentially in terms of, the footprint reduction in some ways. Potentially, you could also look at, the idle time associated with that. And third bucket would potentially be on the reduction, on the inventory write-offs that we have seen so far. So those buckets will certainly contribute in some ways to further efficiencies, and that will certainly move the needle. And you are also speaking the same breadth of, in fact, a 2 to 3 year horizon. And when you get to that point, we are talking about quite a few products coming through. You know, Spiriva certainly, in our opinion, should certainly come through with great deal of confidence. You're saying this in the first half of the current year itself. And then we are also lining up, in fact, for products for the future. We're working on, in fact, the injectables portfolio. We're working on the entire respiratory range. And there's every conceivable product which is worthwhile looking at, we're looking at out there. And we are pivoting a lot more towards a lot more complex ones. You know, so to the extent, there's a lot more stickiness associated with that, you know, realizations associated with that, which is perhaps not hitherto seen in the OST portfolio, you know, at least in recent times. So I think whilst there is further optimization possible on the cost front, there's a lot more possibilities on the top line. And that is, EBITDA is ultimately going to be, the difference between the two. And of course, the R&D expense. And R&D expense, to our mind, whilst we pivot to, in fact, the more complex ones, as a percentage of sales, it'll certainly keep going down only. So I differ with you, and I would say that EBITDA margins in the next 2 to 3 years will certainly be much higher than what it is today. 12 is the absolute nadir from my perspective. And 18 to 20% over the next 2 to 3 years is from my perspective, a certainty.
Understood. And a last question, if I may. Vinita, you mentioned about the Nagpur facility clearance, helping unfold our injectable pipeline. Could you give us some color on, the number of launches or the opportunity size that we're looking in injectables, next year or the year after? Any color would be helpful.
Yeah, so, now that we've got the approval, I mean, we're also accelerating our portfolio, looking at some of the contract manufactured products that we can bring in-house where we haven't had the right cost and supply position. I think in the fiscal year 24, we potentially can bring 4 to 5 products into the market. We have a couple of filings that are pending, glucagon, bimetanide, famotidine, as well as other products that we manufacture outside that we can bring in in-house in Nagpur, at the right cost structure. So 4 to 5 products in the next fiscal year, we'll try to accelerate that and a larger number in the year after.
Thank you, Vinita.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Nitin Dharmawat.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. I see that we are continuously, changing our strategy. So I see that wherever there is a momentum, we go over there. We started somewhere in pathology. Now we are hiring 1,000 people for India business. Earlier it was Japan. We made acquisitions in USA. And things are not working, and that's why we are making too many changes. Is that the case? Are we making too many changes with our strategy?
Actually, we're not making any changes on our strategy. I mean, we've been very focused on building our core business, which is one, India, two, our US complex generic business, three, anywhere we can get operating leverage like other developed markets with our generic portfolio, the investment that we made in our pipeline and in our manufacturing facilities. And four, the other emerging markets, which pretty much are self-sufficient. in terms of their P&L as well as the cash flow requirements. So there's no real change in, the only change in strategy that has happened over the last couple of years, I'd say, is a sharper focus on complex generics, a more specialist genetic portfolio versus a broad genetic portfolio.
And the entry into Japan 12 years ago and the exit were very well-crafted strategies, so to speak. There was nothing tactical about it at all. I would not agree that, so our entry into, in fact, complex generics, injectables, biosimilars, inhalation space are all very well-crafted. And to that extent, we've been very consistent in actually going down the path of further spends on those. There's been no change whatsoever.
I understand. So can you give some guidance for the current financial year and the next financial year for top line as well as for EBITDA margins?
EBITDA margin, if you talk about the current, the next quarter, potentially it will be around the same lines as the current quarter. But I've also indicated that things will get progressively better because you're working on several things on the cost front. And on the top line front, we keep reiterating the fact that there will be products coming in. So things will only get better.
I see. And for the next financial year?
Our ideal target would be to get to the, to the core of 20% that the competition is looking at. Where we get there in the fourth quarter of next year or in FY24-25, it's the general, the overall direction is there. The target is that. And there's no reason why we should not get there because all the initiatives are in place and we are, going down the path of our strategy without, retracing any of those.
The top line also we are looking at double-digit growth.
Yes. Across markets, really.
Got it. Now, there are too many misses that has happened. So even if we achieve something, I'll be happy about it. All the best to you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Samir Baisiwala.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Vinita, if I'm not wrong, FDA had already inspected the site for Spiriva, isn't it? So why should there be a need to do it again?
No, they have. And I don't know if there's a need to do it again, Samir. It all depends on the agency, though.
Standard language, actually.
Yeah. It's been inspected before.
Okay, but they have given you 2 dates. So that means they are thinking about it. Yeah.
We don't know. So they always give you, 2 dates. Yeah. It's very standard language from the agency now on any product. So, that's why we can't say for certain that it's going to be April only.
Okay, got it. And Vinita, what transpired in November TAD date? In a sense, I thought that, there was a good chance that they might have approved then itself. So.
No, so we got a priority review at in November when we had reported, and at that point in time we got we were expecting an approval by close to eligible launch date, which would be very close to April actually.
Okay, got it. And second question, Vinita, are you seeing the competitive intensity in the US for OSDs going up, or is it much the same? For the 3-4 products that you mentioned that you saw some price erosion, were there new entrants which were bidding lower, or even without new entrants, you are seeing prices roll down?
Actually, we have seen some, rationalization on and a little bit of reprieve on the price erosion front because there's been a lot of erosion and companies have started to get out of products. Like we have gotten out of a couple of products. Which really worry our customers. There have been also supply disruptions with a lot of challenges that companies have had in some years, some due to the margin pressure, but otherwise the GMP related issues. So we've seen a degree of getting back to high single digit erosion, price erosion. At this point, and we hope that we'll see that continue in this calendar year.
So Vinita, if I may ask, you know, how profitable is your US business as it stands today? If you can just talk about it, because is that what is taking the, you know, taking the entire company average way below? And how sustainable is it to do business in this manner for a company which probably is the lowest cost producer, you know, in that sense?
Yeah, so I'd say that the US business EBITDA is below the company EBITDA right now. But I can tell you that when we look at the last whole year, I mean, Q3 was probably the quarter where the US business did the best from an EBITDA perspective. So given all the efforts on the cost optimization front, R&D optimization, stabilizing the base as well as executing on the new product launches, we've been able to get Q3 to a much better level than it was in Q2 and Q1, and we continue to build upon it. And 2 years ago, the US generic business was above the company average EBITDA, and you know, as we look at the next, it's subject to Spiriva happening and some of the other product launches, which are certain, like Darunavir is certain, and the like, we expect the US EBITDA, again, from fiscal year 24 to be above the company's average level of EBITDA.
Okay, that's great.
Otherwise, we'll continue to optimize it.
You know, you recognize Samir as well as I do. You know, it was a feast for quite some time. There's been a bit of a famine out there in the last 2 to 3 years. But it's not as though this party will never begin again. So once we get the products in place, things should be much better.
Yeah, sure. Ramesh, my worry is excluding Albuterol, is it a bit in the red kind of a business? And it's not about Lupin, it's just about, you know, is this a sustainable business model in general for generics to be supplying at the pricing that it is, given the consolidated buying in the US?
And you also know this, you know, so the entire business is kind of pivoting away from OSD into more complex ones. And, you know, the more commoditized products is where there's intensive, there is so much of competition and one doesn't really make too much of money as money's out there. So, and to that extent, companies should have focused on moving out of OSD. And that's exactly what we are trying to do also.
Okay, great. One final question from my side, if I may. It's on Suprep. Vinita, two parts. One is, how has the pricing been? A typical exclusivity type pricing, 40% erosion? And second, post 180 days, how do you see the competition coming up?
Yeah, so it's been a two-player market, the authorized generic. The brand launched an authorized generic and us. So it's been a very, very nice opportunity from a margin perspective. Price erosion, even in a two-player market, is 60% or so. So it's been that kind of price erosion. However, the runway that we see is looking better beyond the 180 days. Because we believe that the other players, have supply issues on the API that really is impacting the product approval and launch.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Binu Pati Barampil.
Hi, good afternoon and good morning. Vinita, just a couple of specific questions on products. Darunavir, you just mentioned, so we are set for launch of 600 and 800 in 1Q, right?
That's right.
Okay, and are we going to follow that up with the other strengths after 6 months or so?
I believe so. I mean, the material opportunity, the larger opportunity we see is with the exclusive strength that we have. You know, majority of our revenues that we see, the upside is from the exclusive strength.
Got it. And what's the update on pegfilgrastim in the US? I believe you are looking forward to approval near term.
Yeah, so we responded to the agency, on the queries that they had just in the last couple of weeks. And we believe that we've been able to satisfy, you know, from our perspective, all of the questions that they have. So fingers crossed that we get that approval in the next couple of months.
Oh, next couple of months. Okay, understood. And any further update on Dulera? I believe there also you had some queries to which you responded.
Yeah, so on Dulera, we have received a CRL from the agency, and we need to do some additional work on the product that is ongoing. You know, so we'll have to respond to the CRL, which we haven't responded as of yet.
Understood. Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Shyam Srinivasan.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one is a data point on the India business. What's the current field force? Like, you talked about the 1,000 people, but where were we at, say, March end and now? So what's the absolute number?
At the end of this, we will be at 7,100 reps and 9,300 as the total sales force.
Got it. Thanks, Nilesh. So when we track the progress and you've guided to, you know, quarter two next year, where you'll start growing faster than the market. So what are some of the monitorables, maybe PCPM, if you could, you know, or doctor coverage, if you could guide us to some of the things that we need to be watching out for?
I think you should just be watching out for the total number where we report. You know, I think there's too much granularity. Our PCPM is actually pretty good. Overall PCPM is 8.6 lakhs per representative PCPM. So it's actually a pretty good number overall, but you know, there's a spread. So in an acute business, it's going to be lower. It's higher in a more chronic high-end business. So I wouldn't try to watch out for those things. You know, the divisions that we are adding are in the big area. So there's a metabolic division. There's another respiratory division. I think all of it will reflect in the total numbers and the therapy-wise numbers.
Got it, Nilesh. Helpful. My second question is just on regulatory compliance, and just maybe Nilesh, you can answer it from an industry perspective as well, right? So when participants ask what is the contribution from Mandideep, why is that question being asked? Is it because people worry that every OAI is now equivalent to an import alert? So just, you know, which is surprising. So after so many years of having to work with the FDA, so how should we think about the dynamic, and what are you hearing when you interact with inspectors, quality people? What are some of the feedback that you're picking up?
I appreciate you asking this question. Now, you know, from the industry perspective, I think there is an over heightened sensitivity to every 483 that there is. You know, obviously if there are, you know, excessive number of 483s or, you know, obviously other regulatory action, that is of concern. There's no question about that. And from an industry perspective, we've obviously had a few, you know, examples where, you know, quality has come out pretty bad in other markets and the like. And unfortunately, I think that paints the industry in a bad light. We're coming out from, you know, we had, I believe, about 60 odd inspections in India in 2022 versus the normal 200 plus. So obviously we're getting into a period where there will be, you know, more FDA inspections, and with the number of facilities that we have as an industry, there will be, you know, obviously some portion of negative outcome that will come out as well. But we had five observations in Nagpur. Everybody gave us a hard time. You know, we've got the approval thereafter, right? So I think the nature of the observations is important, and not just the nature, not just the numbers. So I think it's important to get a little bit deeper into this, which is, you know, I think you guys do a great job of that. You know, as far as we're concerned, I think we've had some wins and some misses. You know, Ankleshwar was a win, Nagpur was a win, Somerset was a very nice win, even with the follow-on inspection. Mandideep, clearly, we were not at the right level. We don't expect that we're taking the right steps to for it to not blow up further than what it is, but it's not acceptable. Tarapur is not acceptable as well. And there is a clear remediation plan on this. So we believe that we will get them to the right spot. You know, we're not just going to leave them there just because the contribution may be below a certain level. whatever we supply, every product that we supply has to be of the right quality. People don't have to look at where the product was made. So we're committed to this. I think the industry is committed to it in a broader sense as well. Certainly the scrutiny on the industry is going to be there. And we have to be up to snuff.
Thanks for this.
We can pass time, but we can extend this by another 5 minutes. Last three questions, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nitin Agarwal.
Can you hear me?
We can't hear you, Nitin.
Can we move on to the next question in that case?
Yes, sure. The next question is from Madhav M.
Go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, my only question was you said that the R&D expense as a percent of sales should come down. As the revenue base goes up, could you give us a sense? I think we should be about 8% or so for this year, but what does FY24-25 look like as a percent of sales, if you could give us some sense?
Yeah, so this year it's going to be about 8%, but in the subsequent years, it will certainly come down by a percentage or two for sure.
Percentage or two. Okay, so it could be in the 6 or 7%.
2 percentage points lower to, I would say over time.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Friends, hopefully we've been able to answer all your questions. We hear all your concerns on the margin front. It was not too long ago, a couple of quarters ago, that we were in a single digit margin. And the fact that we've been able to pull the business back up to double digit in Q2 and then further improve it in Q3. I mean, we will continue to work on this front, to ensure that we continue to grow our business in a profitable manner. We certainly don't feel we are anywhere close to our potential as an organization, but we're moving in the right direction and we'll ensure that we can get to our true potential. It might take us a couple of quarters longer just given the delays in product approvals, but we will get there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Lupin Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines and exit the webinar.